Well, it's Tuesday. That's a big day for college football. The College Football Notebook, sponsored by Dixie Vodka. It is football season. That means tailgating, a true Southern tailgate, not complete without Dixie Vodka. DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka is made in America, and by God, it is raised in the South. And
raised we are back in the South.
At the Kia Studios with John and Hugh, tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific. The ESPN reveal of the new College Football Playoff Committee poll. We expect no surprises in the top five. Alabama number one, Clemson number two, Notre Dame number three, Michigan number four.
Michigan.
George Bulldogs coming in at number five. 6 through 10 might be interesting. You know,
Not really.
You know, I see where Oklahoma is. How high is Ohio State? Does LSU drop out of the top 10? Does UCF make it into the top 10? You know, it's going to be Washington State. Where do they kind of play in all this mix? And so it'll be that. That is where the most interest will lie, because the top five are set. At least I think they are. If it's not Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, I'm
you'd be surprised.
Shocked. Yes,
you'd be surprised.
Yes.
I don't see with the win, the big win that Michigan had this weekend against Penn State. I don't see it being any different than what we've already kind of anticipated. And you know you're not going to put Michigan over Notre Dame.
No.
You're not going to do that. So
I mean, the only surprise could be Georgia over Michigan, but I just don't see that happening yet. There's no reason to do it.
The only surprise is Georgia over Michigan.
Yeah.
Why would Georgia be? Because of the Kentucky win?
Yeah, just because of the, if they do it on balance and they were to elevate Georgia, I guess, but you know, if they discount Penn State, I don't know. Maybe not.
That's an intriguing.
Remember, Georgia beat a top 10 team.
Yeah, that's an intriguing conversation. That is an intriguing conversation. But I will say this, John. Even though Kentucky did what they did and they beat Florida and they were a top ranked team, I don't think Kentucky kind of got that respect. I don't think around the country they should have gotten. I still think that people felt that they weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that comes into play.
All right. And it may not.
You know what I mean? I know that they always talk about how style points don't matter and anything like that, but I kind of think it does.
And again, Michigan didn't just beat Penn State. I called that one wrong.
I just didn't see Penn State losing three like that the way that they did. I just didn't see that.
Yeah, so but 6 through 10, again, that might be the kind of the interesting part. As we break down college football on this rainy, wet election day Tuesday, with the College Football Playoff Committee poll being released tonight and the start of college basketball tonight with a gigantic doubleheader in Indianapolis with Michigan State taking on Kansas, followed by Duke at Kentucky. And if you're a college basketball fan like I am, tonight's a big night. I'm very interested to see these games.
Oh, so you're going to be out watching college basketball tonight,
Jonathan? You know, the Duke-Kentucky game, I'm going to try and catch at least a little bit of it. I want to see, you know, we're talking about Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, that team. I want to see how they fare. And, you know, Michigan State, Nick Ward's going to have to play much better. I'm not going to get into the weeds on this. All right, I'll save that for later. I'll get off on a tangent about college basketball.
Well, if you're a Hawks fan and the potential of getting the number one overall pick,
you probably want to check the young guys out. Yeah, I see what you're
saying. And Duke will probably have the top two picks in the draft in Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett. So, you know, that's something to just kind of look at those two guys. By the way, the Hawks also play tonight. They're in Charlotte. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with Andy Bunker on the pregame show. 7 o'clock, Steve Holman from Charlotte, North Carolina Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets. But back to college football for a moment, just kind of resetting the headlines at the top of the hour. Back to college football for the moment. Georgia goes into this week. Now, there's good and bad here. The SEC championship game's already set, and you still have three games to go if you're Georgia. Now, granted, two of them are out of conference, but you got to maintain this focus here.
Especially against Auburn.
Right, especially this week. I mean, Kirby Smart talking yesterday about a couple of things. Number one, about clinching the SEC East so early in the season. Here's Coach Smart.
Obviously, the locker room, guys were fired up. Guys were excited. I mean, I think anytime you play another top 10 team and you have a big win, it's something to get excited about. These guys worked really hard for a long time. So to being able to enjoy that moment, that big game for the trip home, and then Sunday we move on. And it's on to Auburn, who's got a really good football team. And they get your attention the minute you turn the tape on.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they are a good football team. They haven't been the team that I think a lot of War Eagles fans had hoped for this season. And one more from Coach Smart. He talked about facing this Auburn club.
It's a rivalry game. I mean, it's you know, so many of our kids recruited by them, and so many of vice versa. It's just, it's always a rivalry game, and I think that a big part of that is being at your best when your best is needed, and that's the challenge for our guys. We're playing at home at night in our stadium, which I think is really important to our fans, important to our players.
It is at home at night, national TV, all that kind of stuff for Georgia and Auburn. And let's not forget, Hugh Douglas, Georgia last year, of course, they ended up playing Auburn twice, but the first time during the regular season, they went
down.
They got beat.
Yeah, and that was when, you know, it looked like it looked like Jake Fromm was not comfortable throwing the ball in that game. That was the biggest issue that I took from that one. And then the second game, it looked like it was a totally different atmosphere for them. It was a totally different feel. They threw the ball a lot better. Jay Fromm has grown as a quarterback. There's no question about that. He's not the same guy that they faced the last time, so that's going to be a little different. And the resurgence of the running game for Georgia. So you're not just one-dimensional like you were the first time you faced him when, right, Jay Fromm was a quarterback. So this is a little bit different team now. But I think the biggest thing that Georgia has to guard against now, John, is knowing that they're coming to Atlanta, but you have to finish the season out strong because that you have bigger fish that you want to fry. You know, you're coming here. You're coming here for the SEC championship game,
mm-hmm,
but you want to finish strong so that you will be in contention for the 14 college playoff.
It's been a disappointing year for Auburn. Let's kind of just think about this. They opened the season here in Atlanta when they played their third straight game in Atlanta because they played the SEC championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Then they played the Peach Bowl at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Of course, they lost both of those, lost to Georgia, lost to Central Florida. Then they opened the season at Mercedes-Benz Stadium by playing the Washington Huskies and beat them in that game. And when they beat them in that game, Hugh, that kind of set up Auburn potentially for a run. But, you know, down the line, they lost a heartbreaker to LSU. They played a really bad game. Their one really bad game was on the road at Mississippi State. And then they lost to Tennessee in an upset where Tennessee just kind of outplayed them. This interspliced around the fact that they've had a couple of nice wins. We mentioned the Washington win. Had a nice win last week against Texas A&M. This is a 6-3 team. Jarrett Stidham has not had the breakout year they had hoped for, but they are still a very dangerous football team.
Yeah, and you, that's what you're talking about right now, John. Auburn's in a position right now where they could definitely play spoiler. They could definitely snatch, even though you've already punched your ticket to come to Atlanta. They can snatch your hopes and dreams for being in the 14 playoff.
Mm-hmm.
They can definitely do that. So that's why you cannot take this team lightly. And they have some good. They got some good defensive players. They got a good defense. So you don't want to go into a game and underestimate what they bring to the table. And you know you still have Georgia Tech looming. And I'm pretty sure that at that last game of the season, Tech is still going to be trying to knock you off. They're going to be trying to get those bragging rights for the city.
And Tech is peaking. I mean, Tech plays Miami this week. And here's Georgia Tech taking on Miami. Tech's 5-4, and they're talking about what bowl game they might go to. And Tobias Oliver is playing well, and has just won another ACC honor. Tobias Oliver. And you're right. Anymore, I think they're almost more dangerous with Tobias Oliver. But that's a Tech story that we can get into.
And let's not forget that team that's sandwiched in between the two.
UMass?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You got to give everybody their due.
I know. You got to give everybody their due.
Don't get caught slipping.
No, don't get – right. Because UMass –
caught slipping.
You slip against UMass, you might only win 63-6. The game here with Auburn, though, you come in – Auburn hasn't been effective running the football at all this year. You know, Georgia comes in running the football, and that's where they got away from it against LSU. Last week was as – it may not have been the high from a numbers standpoint to you because they had bigger rushing days, but the most impressive to me that Georgia's been running the football considering who they were playing and how they ran it, having a healthy DeAndre Swift, and, you know, he's out there breaking ankles and turning corners, in the thunder and lightning of what Elijah Holyfield gives you, this is where Georgia is at its most effective. Run, pound the rock, and let Elijah Holyfield be that big, strong back with burst, and let DeAndre Swift be your home run hitter, and in between, let that set up Jake Fromm to be successful throwing the ball. And that's when Georgia does that recipe. That's how they played last week. That's when they find the most success, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that, John. That running game was strong, and it was resurgent for him. And the healthy DeAndre Swift is a big part of that. Now you got your 1-2 punch. Now they're remnants of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb back there.
A little bit
of that. So yeah, that's what you got to have. That's when Georgia's running at its peak, when you got that run game going.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit of college football. Georgia and Auburn this week. Huge week for college football in our area because Georgia takes on Auburn and Georgia Tech takes on Miami. So I mean, big games for our local teams this week in terms of especially here at home. So it's going to be jumping on Saturday with the Canes down on the flats and with Auburn up in between the hedges. Georgia State, as mentioned, plays on the road at Louisiana Lafayette. And Kennesaw State actually plays its biggest regular season game of the year up in New Jersey against a very good team in Monmouth. But Kennesaw State is ripping it up. Ever since their opener against Georgia State, Kennesaw State has won 8 in a row. You may or may not know this. Kennesaw State is the number 2 ranked team in the entire nation in FCS, behind only North Dakota State. They're number 2 in the country. Last year, they made the final 8 of the playoffs. This year, Kennesaw State could win it. They could win that national title. Now, North Dakota State is, that's Carson Wentz's old school. They are the Alabama of 1AA, Hugh. They have won it
North
year,
Dakota State.
Yeah, year after year after year, North Dakota State. They have won, I don't know, half a dozen national titles, I bet. They are a powerhouse. You think Alabama's won a lot? Go look at North Dakota State's record. Oh, my God. I mean, it's just insane. But you know what? Kennesaw's got a shot this year. That'll be kind of fun. Once we get into the playoffs, it's going to be really fun to see how far they go.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see a lot of the bowl games that some of these teams get to go to,
mm-hmm.
and when this all plays out, to see who's going to be in the 14 playoff. Because yeah. I still think that's still up in there, John. Anything could potentially happen.
You know, you think about it. Mark Richt is coming back to Bobby Dodd Stadium this week, right? And John Michaels is pulling his hair out.
John Michaels.
Miami is only 5-4. Who had Miami and Georgia Tech at 5-4 this year? And frankly, I think Georgia Tech is playing better football. I think Georgia Tech's a better team.
Now since they put Tobias Oliver back there. Yeah. So it does seem that way.
You know, Michaels is just like, he's got to be going batty. Can he go to that game and still hop a flight to get to Cleveland in time? I wonder. I hadn't thought about that.
What time is Georgia Tech game?
You know, that's a good question. What time is the Tech game? When's kickoff for Georgia Tech and Miami?
I think it's noon.
You think what you saying? He can catch a late flight to Cleveland?
Yeah.
No, he ain't about to do that. No, it ain't going to happen.
No, check that. It's 7 o'clock.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, he ain't going to do that.
No, that ain't happening.
Even if he could do it, he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, too big.
Better
risk.
Have your butt on the plane. Yeah, you better be there.
Yeah.
Have your butt on that plane.
Right,
with them,
exactly.
With them,
yeah, you're sitting in some connecting thing. We got diverted to, you know, to
and you know what the weather's going to be.
Something. Yeah, right?
You know what the weather's going to be.
Yep.
And you don't hear the – like, to travel with the team is love. Like, you know, you bypass all that other stuff.
Right.
You bypass all that. No, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Well, it'll be all right in Cleveland on Sunday. 42 degrees, sunny skies.
That ain't warm. That ain't warm, AT.
As a matter of fact, next week we're going to see 45.
Here?
Just to get you ready, yes.
Oh, that ain't going to be a bad 45 if the sun's out. If the sun's not out, then that's a problem. The one thing I love about Georgia, like if the sun's out and it's beaming, that 45, you could deal with that. You could deal with that a little bit. But if it's like, you know, if the sun's not out, then you got a problem.
That wind is up.
Yeah. It's a little, it's biting. It's biting a little bit. Yeah, it's a little
Yeah, there's some interesting games in the SEC this week. Kentucky takes on Tennessee. Only interesting to see how both teams finish the year. How does Kentucky bounce back from the disappointment of last week? Does Tennessee, you know, finish strong enough that they can make a bowl game in Jeremy Pruitt's first year? And Mississippi State taking on Alabama. Now, nobody thinking Mississippi State can go into Tuscaloosa and win this game, you. I mean, nobody thinks Mississippi
State. Not after what you've just seen.
Not after what you just seen. Nobody thinks that Nick Fitzgerald or Mississippi State can go in and win this game.
Anything can happen, but I don't think that's going to happen. Nah. Not in my wildest dreams. Nah. And even if Tua got hurt,
Nah.
I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to look at like different scenarios playing in my head. I don't see that.
There isn't that. This week does not have that big marquee game. I mean, they've got good games. I mean, make no mistake. Auburn, Georgia Tech. Miami, Georgia Tech. Auburn, Georgia. These are good games. Mississippi State, Alabama has some. I mean, Mississippi State's a 6-3 team, and we look at like Clemson, Boston College. Interesting. Now, if it's an upset, it becomes a really interesting game, and Chestnut Hill's a hard place to play. But short of that, Ohio State, Michigan State, again, if it's
an upset. That should be a pretty good game.
In East Lansing, then, yeah, that could be a pretty good game. The most intriguing game to me in a lot of ways is Oklahoma State because they're playing Bedlam early this year. And so Oklahoma State's had this, you know, Mike Gundy's been just pulling his hair out, talking about guy pulling his hair out all season long with Oklahoma State. This team has really frustrated him. They have been sort of like Auburn, a big disappointment in a lot of ways. But here's their chance. They go down to Norman. You know, it is a rivalry game. And can Oklahoma State shock Oklahoma? And if they do, how does that throw everything into a tizzy? See, this is the one thing that's true. there's still a lot of football to be played. Some of these teams have four games left.
Yeah, they do. And, John, that's why for me, I know you get excited about it, but the four teams at the top, only ones I'm really concerned about right now are the first two. The first two, that would be Clemson, Alabama. Everybody else, they're still jockeying for position right now.
Going to be a fun Tuesday on Election Day and on Hawks Night because the Hawks travel to face the Charlotte Hornets. We'll have Hawks GM Travis Schlenk join us. We have some questions about not only the Hawks but the league, and we're going to pose them. You know, who are the powerhouses of the league right now? Because have you seen the standings? They're interesting. There's three teams up there. You're kind of going, huh? Are they really that good?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Marty Show with John and Hugh on this Election Day Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Those storms are moving in too. On top of everything else, so just keep your eyes on the skies. Boy, those...
It's going to be a lazy day.
Man, those clouds are ripping outside the palatial studios up here in the
ninth
floor.
Thank God for early voting. Yeah. That's for real.
No kidding.
Thank God for early voting. Right. For real.
If somebody did early vote.
Wait.
No, my wife is
All the messages I sent you?
She's an election day voter. She's one of these people that wants
to vote. So wait a minute. What about you? You ain't allowed to do nothing unless your wife tell you? That's what you're basically saying, John Freak.
He's scratching his man beard.
You know what we used to call that back in the day? Henpecked.
Trevor Schlenk is joining us now. We move along here with the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Sorry, Travis, you had to walk into this. I apologize. This is my bad.
I'm enjoying it. Keep going.
Well, he hasn't gotten to my cats yet.
Elsie and Archie?
Elsie and Archie. Hadn't gotten to those yet, and why I'm in trouble. But anyway, the Hawks play the Hornets tonight. Another, I told you, is a big Tuesday. On the road in Charlotte, and the Hawks going for win number four in the year. Our pregame coverage begins at 6:30. The call of the game at 7 o'clock, the Hawks and Hornets.
Trav, now I know that you said with Trae Young that this is going to be a process. I know that. But last Saturday, he had 24 points and a career-high 15 assists. Are you seeing him starting to adjust to this pro game a little bit more or a little bit quicker than you anticipated?
No, listen, like we've said from day one, going back to the night of the draft, you know, the one thing that we really liked about his game was his ability to recognize situations as a young point guard and be able to make the correct reads. You know, we saw that obviously the other night. He's got, I think, three double-doubles on the year where he's had 10, 11, and now 15 assists. You know, his assist to turnover ratio is a little bit over 2-1. You know, obviously we'd like to get that closer to 3. But we're very pleased with what he's done so far and, you know, very excited about the future with him.
Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Lots been made about Trae Young, and he has, you know, obviously is the number one pick for you, going to be the guy that everybody focuses on. But I've seen some really nice things from your other two rookies in Spellman and Herter in the last couple of games, kind of doing their roles, and I think that you could see both of them as long-term impact guys, or am I just wrong about that? Maybe it's too early, or am I wrong about that?
No, you know, we're very high on both guys. You know, we feel good about the way the draft played out this year. You know, with Kevin, you know, he came out and just kind of had the knack of being known as a shooter. He's so much more than that. We have two guys on our roster that have a positive assist-to-turnover ratio of at least 2-1. Obviously, Trae being one. Kevin's the other guy. You know, he just makes the easy play, makes the game simple, has a very good feel. You know, he's more athletic than people think. And, you know, he's shooting almost 46% from three on the year. So very, very positive on Kevin and his long-term future. And then Amari, you know, Amari's got that great shooting stroke for a 6'9" guy. You know, he's a big guy. He's got some bulk inside, which is obviously nice. He's got good athleticism, extremely long arms, and as we've seen, he can space the floor too, shooting above, I think, just around 42% from three for the year. So very excited about all three of those guys and the future they have.
Talking with Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. All right, let's get to some of the news. Amari's going to have a big game tonight. We understand no Torian Prince. He's got a little problem with his ankle, and then of course John Collins continues to. We wait on John Collins. Is that to Collins? Is that like an indefinite thing now, Travis?
No, he's getting closer. You know, he's starting to ramp up his workouts on the floor. You know, the issue we have now is, you know, essentially since the 1st of October, he hasn't done a lot on the floor at all. You know, he's just been in the pool, he's been on the bike, and, you know, trying to keep his cardio up that way. But now he's starting to get on the floor. He's starting to do more reactive stuff on the floor. So it's just all about really, you know, continuing to strengthen the ankle, and then obviously, you know, starting to get back in shape as far as, you know, being able to run up and down and play an NBA game.
Is this more so about just making sure he's 100% instead of just throwing him out there on the floor? There's no real need to kind of put – no real rush to kind of throw him out there right now. So is this basically what this is?
Yeah, I mean, the last thing we want to do is throw him out there before he's, you know, his ankle's strong enough, you know, he's been fit enough, and then, you know, have it get re-injured. So, like I said, he's been without over a month of running up and down the court, so now we've got to get him back in shape.
Oh, say, Trav, you know, college basketball starts tonight. How much are you going to be watching? I mean, I know you got a lot going on, you know, being in the gym and all and getting ready for the Hawks to play tonight, but how much are you going to be paying attention to college basketball start tonight?
I'm actually heading to the airport here in shortly, and I'm flying up to Indianapolis to go to those games tonight.
Oh, wow, get out of town.
Duke, Kentucky, and then Kansas, Michigan State up there. So I'll be up there tonight.
You know, I know you're not going to tell me, but who you going to look at, though? Who you going to look at, Trav?
I'm looking at all of them, man. You never know. Looking at all of them. You know, by example, when I went and watched Maryland play last year, and, you know, Kevin was on the floor, I went back and looked at my notes going into the draft, and I said, hey, good young player, someone to check next year, and then he came out. So you got to watch all of them because you never know who's going to come out.
Okay.
Right, exactly. And, well, you know what? You live the life. I'm going to guess that when you get up to the arena in Indianapolis for this event, you're not going to be like in the nosebleeds.
He's on the floor,
right,
John.
That's what I'm thinking.
He's taking notes.
Michigan State and Kansas, Duke and Kentucky. I mean, come on now. I mean, man, your life is good. I mean, gee.
I never said I had a bad one. I get to talk to you guys once a week. I got a maid.
Yeah, I don't know about. I don't know if that. We include that. I don't know if we. Because you don't never know what we're going to talk about on this one, there, Coach. You don't know what's going to come out of our mouth.
The Atlanta Hawks get to take on Charlotte here. I wanted to ask you a league question, if I could, Travis, talking just a little bit about the start in the NBA. It is not a surprise that the Golden State Warriors, your old team, at 10-1. We all know how dominant and great they can be. But there are three other teams that have one loss, and maybe a couple of them are surprises. I mean, Toronto is 10-1 with Kawhi. That may be a surprise that they're that good. How about 8-1 for the Milwaukee Bucks, and now after last night, 9-1 for the Denver Nuggets. Can you look at those three teams, Denver, Milwaukee, and Toronto, and tell me why they're so good?
Well, I think when you talk about the two teams in the East, Toronto and Milwaukee, you know, they're two deep teams. They have continuity. They've been together for a while, and they have new voices in the locker room. Obviously, you know, Coach Bud's up in Milwaukee now, and Toronto made a coaching change from Dwayne Casey to Nick Nurse. So I think that's probably given those two teams a little pep, you know, just a little change. And obviously both groups of players are buying into it. But, you know, they both have good depth and they both have continuity and they have that new voice in the locker room. You know, the Nuggets are a young team that, you know, were built through the draft. They obviously plugged in a free agent last year in Paul Millsap. Who got hurt this year, you know, they're healthy. I think their team, you know, has a very bright future. But they've, again, been together for two or three years and just slowly getting better and better. You know, last year they lost on the last night of the regular season to miss out on going to the playoffs. So I think what you see with all three of those teams is the continuity and the internal growth. And, you know, hopefully that's what we're going to achieve here.
We're talking about the NBA with Travis Lang. Travis, I made a statement last week and had people guffawing at me. I said, I don't believe that the difference between the West and the East is as large as some people believe it is.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right? And because I look at some of the better teams in the East and I look at some of the star players in the East, you know, with Kawhi in Toronto and with the Greek Freak in Milwaukee and with what Boston can bring to the table with all of its stars despite its loss last night and with maybe the most underrated player in the NBA and Victor Oladipo in Indiana, that the East is actually better, you know, if you look at, like, say, top five versus top five or top eight versus top eight, the difference between the West and the East isn't as great as I think some people think it is. Now, I may be wrong. You're more of an expert. Is it still really West dominant over the East?
Well, I think the reason why you have that assumption is just because of how dominant Golden State is and how dominant they've been for the past few years. And that tips the scales quite a bit. But I think probably when you look, you know, 1 through 15 of both conferences, the West is a deeper conference than the East. I think you're going to have to win more games to get into the playoffs than the West. But I think the East is going to be very competitive, too. You know, other than Toronto, Milwaukee, and I put Boston up there as kind of the top three. And then, you know, you kind of have the Pacers and Philly in there. And then I think it's wide open for the last three spots. And then, you know, in the West is, you know, obviously Golden State, but, you know, Houston's going to come back up. You know, they got off to a slow start, but they're going to be good. You know, Portland's, you know, going to be a good team. San Antonio is always a good team. I think the Clippers are a little bit better than most people think. You know, I know Westbrook got hurt last night for the Thunder. I don't know how long he'll be out, but it sounds like it might be a pretty extended ankle injury for him. But, you know, they're good. And, you know, Memphis is a veteran team that's been together for a long time. And, you know, the Jazz are obviously a good team. And then, you know, everyone, I think, probably thought the Lakers would be better than they were just because of LeBron, but you never can count out a LeBron team. So I think there's a little more depth in the West, but it's probably not as great as it's made out in the media.
Does it feel like, to me as a fan, it just watching the games, it feels like it's a little bit more physical in the West. Is that the case, or is that just the brand of basketball that they play over there?
No, you know, really throughout the league this year, the way they're officiating the games, they're not allowing physicality. You know, there's so much emphasis on freedom of movement off the ball and on the ball. They're really making, that's one of the reasons why you're seeing scoring go up. But that's, you know, they're really kind of trying to take the physicality out of the game. And it makes for a more exciting brand of basketball, you know, a lot more up and down, you know, a lot more scoring, so that they're really trying to get rid of the physicality in the game.
Well, of course, we're looking forward to the Hawks and the Hornets tonight, and you get to go to Indianapolis. Is St. Elmo's on your agenda when you get up there?
I am not going to go there. You know, I've never had their shrimp cocktail, but everyone says it's fantastic.
Oh, you've never been to St. Elmo's?
I've been there. I've just never had this shrimp cocktail. That's what they're famous for, right? The shrimp cocktail.
Yeah. How do you not get the shrimp cocktail when you go? Okay. Well, the next time you do, you got to have the shrimp cocktail. It's like a rite of passage. Okay.
Ugh. Yeah. The next time I order shrimp cocktail will be the first time.
So oh, okay. All right. Fine. All right. Fair enough. Enjoy your time in Indy. Have a safe flight.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
All right, Travis Link joining us on the WayForward.com outline. No, St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail. St. Elmo's.
Man, I wish I
would. St. Elmo's is a steakhouse in Indianapolis. One of the best steakhouses in the world.
Right, I would just get some shrimp
and
cocktail.
They have this shrimp cocktail with a big shrimp, and their some cocktail shrimp. Sauce is like perfect.
At St. Elmo's.
Come yeah. On, man. St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail their sauce is unbelievably good. Hey, you want to get a chance to see the Hawks and Knicks Wednesday night, State Farm Arena? Yeah, here's your chance.
Hey, chance! Be caller number 9. Right now, 404-741-0929. Win Hawks tickets from Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Next up, we venture into Hughes World.
Yes, we talk about one of the most famous doctors on the planet. The famous is about to be sued for a Gripperton. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
The home for our Atlanta United.
Full time! Incredible win!
MLS in the ATL.
And we are your official station for all things Atlanta United.
Scores! I've never seen anything like that. Go! Cross, shot, score!
The official home for the Atlanta United.
Go! Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from the Game Time Traffic Center. Got a third vehicle fire of the morning. This one's 166 East before DeLow and Stanton. Had all the lanes blocked as they're trying to tend to that there. So if you're heading that way, trying to head to your polling place or to work or school, going to be a little bit bogged down there. But don't let it deter you. Keep going. Do what you need to do out there today. If you're traveling out toward the Sandy Springs area, 285 East at New North Side, trying to get over toward Georgia 400, had a lane block with a stalled vehicle in that area. Problem with the traffic signal.
This Sunday is Big Sunday.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
It's our Falcons.
Followed by Atlanta United playoff game number 2.
All Falcons play here, and our Atlanta United play here. Big Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
First, I want to start this off by giving a shout-out to Baird College, their Division III school. One of our listeners, our loyal listeners, was asking me to give them a shout-out this morning because they're undefeated right now. They're back-to-back champions in their conference. And I like Baird College because I've never been there, but I like the name of their stadium. Their stadium is named Valhalla. It's a pretty cool name for a stadium.
Like where it is a Thor's beautiful campus.
Yeah, Valhalla. Yeah. That's a pretty cool name for a stadium, huh? Valhalla.
Yeah, yeah. But it is, boy, Barry, they've got a great piece of land there in Rome. But
I should have known you knew about Barry.
Yeah, I've been
you know
up
everything. Did you used to work there?
No, but I you know, because I went out to Barry and I was driving around campus there one day, you know, thinking about my daughter, and then I found out how much it was, and I said, okay,
yeah, it's a private school, right? It's a private school.
Happen, honey. And Kennesaw State is in your future.
Yeah, no, and they were talking about how they just added football a few years ago, 2013.
Right, they just built a stadium.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So I wanted to give them a shout out because one of our listeners talking about we never show any of the small schools any love. And I'm like, dude, from a small school, so you know, what's up?
No, that's how my niece landed at Tuskegee because she went up to Barry. Beautiful campus, but that price tag, not so much.
That's how they built that stadium called Valhalla. That's how they built Valhalla.
Isn't that heaven?
In Norse,
yes.
Yeah, by Holly, because the Valkyrie. Look at you knowing your Norse history.
I'll be Norse.
He did go to Georgia Tech, though. Hey, the man did go to Georgia Tech.
probably
the only one in here that was eligible to get into school.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Then there's that.
But anyway.
Dude, I went to DeKalb College. Come on, stop.
But anyway, the story that I want to talk about, this is one of the most famous doctors in sports, Dr. Andrews. He's the guy that whenever you hear of anybody having to have a knee repaired or anything that has to do with the musculature of your body to help get you right, he is the dude that you go to. But not so much. Ha-ha. Ex-NFL player Sharif Floyd, who's from Philadelphia, by the way, is suing Dr. James Andrews and others for $180 million, John Fricke.
Wow.
A source told ESPN's Don Graziano that according to the expected lawsuit, Floyd in September 2016 went to Andrews Institute for what he was told would be a routine arthroscopic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He would require 3 to 4 weeks for recovery. But once doctors began the process to operate, they determined Floyd needed microfracture surgery that required them to drill inside the bone, which caused bleeding and required him to receive a post-operation pain blocker.
Mm-hmm.
The suit alleges that those administering the pain blocker affected the procedure, paralyzing a nerve and the surrounding muscle and created a situation from which he could never recover from sufficiently to play football. His explosive first step was never going to return. The number 23 pick in the 2013 draft was done in NFL. Dr. Andrews is being sued and his anesthesiologist for the two fellows who aided in the surgery, the hospital, and the associated corporations, according to the source. The defendants will have a chance to respond to the discovery process, but it could take at least 6 to 12 months. And the trial will likely fall in the early as winter of 2019. I know Sharif Floyd, John. Played at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him when he was getting ready to go to school at Florida and kind of followed his career. And I remember him having this surgery. I didn't know what the extent of it was. I remember him saying they was going there to clean his knee out or whatever. I remember that.
Right.
And for him to go through this, man, and have this devastating situation happen to him, that's kind of crazy. And you would also think that for Dr. Andrews, this has to be – I wonder how this affects his practice moving forward. Now, he's been operating for a long, long time. Long, long time.
Yes, he has. I mean, he is
and
world
he's done,
renowned.
Yeah, and he's done – like, that's the guy. Like, I remember when I tore my biceps in New York. I remember that my agent was telling me, Drew Rosenhaus at the time, he was like, hey, man, go to Dr. Andrews to get you right because he's the guy that, you know, you go to Alabama – and he'll fix you right up. He's done major surgeries. He's done everybody.
He's been around. He's got to be like 80, isn't he? I mean, he's been around for
He's been around a long time. He's been around a long time. But I would think that at this point, John, he has a team of doctors that probably, you know, probably does what he does or does what he's been doing.
I'm sort of surprised this wasn't just settled. I mean,
it's probably like that's
the thing, 76, yeah.
That's the thing. It probably will be after this because this is a huge black. I'm surprised it got to this point.
Yeah, I'm surprised it became public.
Yeah, because like $180 million for one of the world-renowned doctors. And like he's the guy that I'm pretty sure every agent who's had a client that has gotten hurt, that's the first name that you hear.
Sure.
You go to Dr. Andrews. So I'm pretty sure that at some point this is not probably going to get to trial. I don't think it's going to get to trial. I think that Sharif is going to get a settlement in this situation. But that's the unfortunate part about it, John. This cat, when he got hurt, he was still a young player.
Mm-hmm.
He was still a young player, and he was a promising player, too. That's the messed up part about it is because now I'm pretty sure the money's going to make him feel a little bit better. But his career is going to be a whole lot of what ifs beside it. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Going to be what if.
Yeah.
What could I potentially have been if I wouldn't have gotten hurt? What would have happened if this nerve blocker or whatever it was that paralyzed you or changed the way you know your knee worked, what if that had never happened and I could have went out there and played football again? And who doesn't know? My thing is this. As a doctor, and as much as you've been practicing, how do you not know that a person doesn't need microfracture surgery before you go in there? Because that's something that
would have shown up, right? I mean,
I don't, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what shows up on the CAT scan or the MRI, whatever it is they use. But everybody that I've heard of that has had that microfracture surgery, they've known it before the doctor actually had to go in and perform the surgery. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's unfortunate, and hopefully, you know, this doesn't hurt Dr. Andrews too much, but I think that it will. And, you know, hopefully Sharice gets paid behind this. Hope he gets paid a grip behind this.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll settle this, I would imagine.
What do you say, half?
Well,
half.
Less than that. I mean, I would think, you know, I mean, if I'm Dr. Andrews, it's an insurance thing. You know, he's got insurance. It'll be an insurance company settlement, you know, and it'll probably go away quietly. Half. I mean, I think 180 means probably excessive anyway, but I mean, it seems like an awful lot of money, but you know, whatever they settle for is whatever they settle for. Right? Look, it's tax free.
Boy, that's the heck of a way to look at it.
It's tax free,
right? That's just like breaking into a store. It ain't. They got insurance for it. Okay, yeah. I guess if that's the way, that's perspective. It's all about perspective.
Mm-hmm. Way these things settle.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And, of course, it is a big Tuesday with the Hawks playing tonight against the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte, 6:30 pregame, tip at 7. That'll be a part of the discussion today as the Hawks go back on the road. No Taurean Prince tonight, no John Collins. We'll see what they can do with Trae Young taking on Kemba Walker and the Charlotte Hornets tonight. Well, he's such a good player. Nobody talks about him, Kemba. Yeah, he can play. Dude can flat. If Kemba Walker were on Boston or L.A., you'd be talking about how great a player he is. He's just on the wrong darn team.
Well, he's a free agent at the end of the season, so it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
I mean, he's the best player in the NBA that nobody talks about. When we get back, Jason Butt is going to join us from The Athletic. We're going to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons and what he sees in covering the Atlanta Falcons as they head towards Cleveland on Sunday. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.